My name is Alessandro Pilotti. I'm a Microsoft MVP on AIS and a long-time developer on Linux and PHP. This webcast is about building Drupal web forms with AIS. It's split in two parts. The first part will be the theoretical introduction, while the second part will be a full demo on creating a Drupal web form. Let's start with an architectural overview about what we mean with web form. We have two or more web servers, which are the nodes of the web form containing the web application or the web applications, and one or more servers in front which act as load balancer, in this case this one marked as ARR. Let's see the technology involved. We have application request routing, which is an extension to IIS available for free. It has a lot of features. It has HTTP based routing decisions, various types of load balancing algorithms, health monitoring, client affinity, host name affinity, multiple server groups, managing and monitoring feature using the UI, caching, SSL offloading, and failed request route tracing rules. There is another component of our architecture which is called the Web Form Framework 2.1. It has also some features like integration with ARR, so with application request routing, platform provisioning, including frameworks like PHP, .NET, and so on, application provisioning via web deploy, simplified form management, and a rich UI for monitoring and management. The role of the web form framework is to synchronize all the content of the nodes of the web form. How do we create a server form? After installing ARR and WFF, the node server forms shows up in the tree. We can install both application request routing and web form framework via web deploy. It's the easiest way. In a server form, you can enable independently the load balancing feature and the server form provisioning. Enabling server form provisioning only means that an alternative load balancing solution is planned. So for example, a hardware network load balancer, Varnish, or Apache plus HA proxy, and so on. WFF requires administrator credentials valid on all the hosts belonging to the farm. Creating an ARR farm via graphical user interfaces also creates the URL rewrite rules, which are required to rewrite every incoming request to the nodes in the farm. Here is how it looks. You give a name to the farm, and you can independently specify if you want to use this farm for load balancing and or provisioning. If you specify server farm provisioning, then you have to specify a user which is an administrator on all the nodes of the farm. WFF server roles. WFF is based on the concept of a primary host and multiple secondary hosts. The primary host is the master. Platform and applications get provisioned to secondary hosts. So if you install a web application the primary host, it gets synchronized to all the secondary hosts. The secondary hosts are basically clones of the primary host. Roles can be switched. A secondary host can become primary in any moment. You can customize any time how the provisioning works. Adding servers. You start by adding the primary server, and once the primary server has been added, you can only add secondary servers. Only one server can be the primary one at a time. If you want to do it via command line interface, here are the rules. You do everything via appcmd. Application request routing configuration. Here is how it looks like inside of IIS Manager. You have application provisioning settings, caching settings, health test, load balance, monitoring management, platform provisioning, proxying, routing rules, server affinity, and a workflow builder. Let's start with the health test. The health test is very important in a web farm. It's necessary in order to make sure that all the nodes are working. If a node is not working, it will be taken offline and a request will not be routed to the specific node. In this case, you specify a URL which will be tested at given intervals, for example here every 30 seconds. If the URL is not available or returns an error, let's say an unexpected status, then the web form node will be taken offline for a given amount of time. You can verify in any moment the URL. You can also specify the minimum number of servers that needs to be alive for the farm to be online. Load balancing can be configured with a lot of separated algorithm. How do you choose an algorithm? Well, your objective is to make sure that the traffic goes as smooth as possible. So if all the servers are configured in the same way, weighted round robin is a good option. Least current request, it's based on the time in which the last request has been executed by given node. Least response time is very useful in a situation in which the nodes are not necessarily configured in the same way from a hardware perspective. In this case, the load balancer will take into account the amount of time that the nodes require to execute requests. Server variable hash, query string hash, and request hash are all based on a hashing algorithm in order to send all the requests to a given node by some common criteria. Routing rules are used to define the reverse proxying rules. In this case, you can use them to enable SSL offloading, meaning that the communication between the load balancer and the nodes in the farm are going in clear text. So this way, the nodes will not have to handle the encryption. You can also specify not to forward some specific static files, for example, JPEGs, or CSS, and GIF, that can be served directly from the load balancer. Server affinity. In our example, we are enabling client affinity, which means that once a client connects to the web farm, it will always be routed to the same node in the farm, unless, of course, the node fails. Caching. Primary and secondary disk caches are configured at the server level. You can add drives to the cache, which is the area in which the load balancer will store the cached data. You can also specify a limit to the amount of space that the application request routing can use to store the data. You can add a secondary drive, which is basically a copy of the primary drive content. Cache configuration. So here are some settings for the cache, like the cache cleanup interval, so how often the cache will be cleaned from unused objects. You have disk usage high threshold, so how much space maximum you are allowed to use. Disk usage low threshold, byte range segment size, application request routing is splitting all the cached content in blocks of that given dimension. You can also enable compression to maximize the use of the disk, considering that of course compression requires more CPU. Cache warm-up. You can specify that the content of a given URL can be cached straight away. So when the first user is connecting your web application, he will not have to wait for the first data to be cached. You can specify also some caching rules. So for example, data coming from a given website related to a given URL can be cached for a given amount of time or not cached at all. To enable caching in the farm, once you finish to configure the primary and secondary disks, you can specify the memory cache duration in seconds, enable or not the disk cache, and specify how the query string is influencing the behavior of the cache. Platform provisioning. You can enable platform provisioning at any time or disable it by just clicking on the related checkbox. Also, you can specify if you want to take the server offline, and with first server we mean specific web farm nodes, during provisioning, which is usually important because otherwise, while you are deploying a web application, for example, it's highly probable that the user will get a 500 error otherwise. Synchronization interval. Synchronization interval is the interval at which the web farm framework is checking for updates on primary server in order to deploy them to the secondary ones. Platform provisioning is related to products that you have on your servers. On the other side, application provisioning is related to the applications that you have on the nodes. So also here you can enable or not application provisioning and take or not the server offline while syncing applications. The synchronization interval here is typically lower because you don't expect to change often your platform, but you can change pretty often the content of the website. Failed request tracing gives you the opportunity to have detailed request logs related to your farm. It's an excellent troubleshooting tool. You just have to launch IIS Manager, select your website for which you want to enable FRT, for example the default website, and just select Fade Request Tracing on the right and enable it with the checkbox. Before doing that, you have to enable Failed Request Tracing on the server, which is just a role service in IIS. Afterwards, you can add any type of tracing rule inside of the Features pane. Just Click on it in IES Manager, click Add, and here you specify the type of content for which you want to enable a trace. Trace conditions are the specific situation in which you want to log some data. For example, you might want to log only error. In that case, you specify a status code starting from 500. Or if you just want every type of request containing success, then you can do from 200 to 399, like in this example. Afterwards, you can select the trace providers and specifying only which areas you want to investigate. For example, in this slide, you will see URL rewriting and request routing. To analyze the traces, you just need to go to the path you can see on the slide now and check some given sections, for example, the general request headers, the routing information, the service stats, and so on. You can also do this via command line interface, and you can do everything with AppCMD. Shared configuration can be used as an alternative to web farm provisioning. Basically, it's just sharing the same configuration files among two or more hosts. You obtain that by saving the configuration files on a network share. An encryption key is set to protect sensitive data. Websites reside on shared paths. So let's start by exploring the configuration, in which you specify a path on a UNC share, typically, and an encryption key password. Afterwards, you just enable shared configuration inside of IIS Manager, specifying also a host name that will be used to connect to the share. Once you add more nodes to the host, you just have to provide the encryption key password. Now, let's go on the scenario that we are going to implement for the specific Drupal farm. In this case, we are going to have a node in front, which will be our load balancer, so containing application request routing and web farm framework. Behind it, we will have two web farm nodes, and behind that, a file server and a MySQL server. So the first server, the load balancing and farm controller, will be called Drupal ARR. The two nodes will be called Drupal Web 1 and Drupal Web 2. The file server, Drupal File Server, and the MySQL server, Drupal DB. In our demo that you will see in part 2 of this webcast, we will install MySQL on Drupal File Server in order to limit the number of required VMs. So let's start with the DBMS. You just install MySQL on the DBMS server, which can be Windows, Linux, or whatever. You create a database, and you enable access to the MySQL database from the web servers by creating a user and granting to that user all the required permissions on the database. In Drupal web apps, connecting to MySQL using an IP address is preferred. This avoids name resolution and permits you to squeeze some milliseconds out of every request. Web farm hosts. So let's start with Drupal Web 1 and Drupal Web 2. You install Web Deploy with Web PI, if not already installed. You disable user access control. You enable the following features through the local firewall: core networking, file and printer sharing, and remote administration. We need a common account with administrator rights on the host. It can be a domain user, if you have a domain, or a user with the same username and password on all hosts. Must be a member of the local administrator group. Check that the user password is not set to expire. We can do everything by command line, which is also useful to avoid mistakes by repeating the same action on a lot of servers. So netuser wfadmin is the command that we're using to add the user. Afterwards, we're going to use a WMI to set the password expiration policy. Finally, we just use netlocalgroup to add the user to the local administrator group. We create a Drupal website on the primary server only, so we don't need to do that on Drupal Web 2, only on Drupal Web 1. We can do that via Web PI or manually, it's not important here. You can see that in all the previous webcasts that we did. You can install all necessary components, so PHP 5.3, PHP Manager, WinCache, URL rewrite, and so on. And you can point at the Drupal database configuration to the database that we created in the previous step. WebFarm framework will later use WebDeploy to replicate the site to a secondary server, Drupal Web 2 in our case. Load balancer. Just install ARR and WFF on the load balancer. And then let's start with the configuration. Open IIS Manager and create a WebFarm. If IIS Manager was open during the setup of ARR, it needs to be closed and reopened to be able to access the installed features. Server farm details. Set the WF admin user you created in the previous steps. Don't forget also to set provisioning and to set server farm is available for load balancing. Add primary host to the farm. In our case, Drupal Web 1 will become the primary server. This host contains the Drupal website or the Drupal websites that you want to provision in the farm. You don't need to do this now, you can do it later, of course. Now you can add any type of secondary host to the farm. Notice that the primary server checkbox got grayed out because only one primary server can be available at a time. Once you're done and you press finish, ARR will ask you if you want to create the local URL write rules. This is the base of the redirection process, so you need to do that. Platform provisioning. At this point, platform and application synchronization between the hosts takes place. Platform tools and frameworks that are available on the primary server get installed on the other servers. Afterwards, application pools, sites and application will be synchronized. Provision can be started also manually. Check secondary web farm hosts afterwards to see that everything went smoothly. Here's how it looks like. You can see a log here containing all the trace messages related to application provisioning. Let's configure now the health test. We can just specify the name of the website that we are going to check. This is the URL that application request routing will poll in at given intervals, 30 seconds in this case, to see that everything is going smooth. If you click verify URL test, you will get this dialog box. In this case, we are expecting both servers to pass, which means that Drupal Web 2 finished the provisioning activity. Next step consists in setting the server affinity. We just want to set client affinity. You can also think about a distributed session management that can be evaluated in order to avoid any type of affinity between clients and nodes in the farm. At this point, we need a user for the nodes in the farm to connect to the file share. So you need a common user on Drupal file server, on Drupal Web 1 and on Drupal Web 2. You don't need any special privilege here, just a plain user. You can create it by command line also to avoid any type of error while replicating the same configuration on all the servers, with net user Drupal WP specifying a password, and then you can use WMI to disable the password expiration policy. Make sure that the password is not set to expire, otherwise you will have a bad surprise after some time. Repeat all these steps on all the above hosts. So let's go on with the working process identity. On the primary server in IIS Manager, open the server node, click on the application pools, and on the Drupal website application pool. Click on the advanced settings, and here change the identity and set it to Drupal WP. In PHP ini configuration that you're using for your application, don't forget to set FastGI impersonate to 0. For performance, make sure also that WinCache is enabled. Let's go now to the file server, where you have to enable the shared storage access. Drupal requires a shared files directory, which is going to be accessed by all the farm in the host. Can be hosted on a SMB share. As an alternative, file system synchronization solutions could be applied, like DFS, rsync, web deploy, and so on, but it's preferred to have everything in a single area. A valid user must exist on the web farm host and on the file server. It can be a domain account or a local user with the same username and password. That's why we created a WP user. Proper permissions need to be set on the SMB share. You create a directory where you want to store your Drupal shared data, in this case, see data, my new Drupal site, add write permissions for the user, Drupal WP. Now let's create an SMB share, in which we are just adding permission for the Drupal WP user for change and read. You can do this also by command line, which is probably the simplest way to do that. So the first instruction is creating the directory, the second is setting the NTFS permissions that we need, and the third one is creating the share, providing also the proper permissions. Troubleshooting SMB access is very important because it could lead to a lot of errors difficult to catch. What we do now is to run a command prompt as the Drupal WP user by using ran s. Afterwards, we just try to access the share with NetUse. We try to write a simple file inside of the share, and if the file is there, it means that we have write access. Afterwards, we can just delete the file. The next step is finally the Drupal configuration. So we log in with an administrative account, we go in administer, set configuration, file system, and we set the file system and temp path to the shared storage area. You might also create a separate share on the file server for the private path if necessary. Here it is. Just set the file system path to an UNC share and also the temporary directory. In case you might use Drupal 6, take care that, at least in Drupal 6.19, there was no support for UNC paths. This problem can be easily solved with the following code patch. It's just one line of code. Actually, in the file includes slash file inc at line 126, you just need to change is writable with touch. This is it. This was the theory behind the technology that you're using inside of our web farm. In part 2 of this webcast, we are going to run a demo to apply in practice all this technology.